From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You're listening through voanews.id or our application RRI Play Go. And we from the Voice of Indonesia will be bringing you more information about Indonesia. Like the first one is the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
It is the news read by Putri. First, the headlines. ASEAN Plus 3 President Joko Widodo underlines three focuses to toughen health resilience. And Vice President Ma'ruf Amin said halal industry plays strategic role in national economy. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has highlighted three focuses that can be used by ASEAN Plus 3 or APT countries to strengthen health resilience. As quoted by Antara, President Joko Widodo, while delivering a speech at the 24th ASEAN Plus 3 Summit, which he joined virtually from Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java, on Wednesday, October 27th, stated that these three focuses are long-term investments so that the region is better prepared for future pandemics. He also said that the first focus is to increase the capacity of national health services, as they are absolutely the front line in facing any pandemic. President Joko Widodo also affirmed that national health can be the foundation for regional health resilience. The halal industry is playing a strategic role in boosting the national economy. This was affirmed by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin while opening the Indonesia Sharia Economic Festival, or ISAF 2021, in Jakarta on Wednesday, October 27th. As quoted by Antara, he also said that this is apparent from many countries that are focusing on developing the halal industry. The countries include Brazil, Thailand, South Korea, Japan, and China, which have relatively small Muslim populations. He further said that the Indonesian government also continues to promote the role of the halal industry in the national economy. Minister of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Abdul Halim Iskandar has expressed confidence that Indonesia will be free of extreme poverty by 2024. While inaugurating a village tourism facility in West Nusa Tenggara, he observed from Jakarta on Wednesday, October 27th, that his site has proceeded with a village-level approach and completed village SDGs-based microdata to achieve the 0% extreme poverty level on time. He also remarked that when President Joko Widodo declared that 0% extreme poverty will be achieved in 2024, he felt confident that Indonesia could achieve the target on time. The Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry has designated Tomalo Village in North Maluku Province as a fisherman's village area, along with four other regions in Indonesia. As reported by Antara, Head of Maritime Affairs North Maluku Branch Komarudin said on Wednesday, October 27th, that Tomalo has been designated as an advanced fishing village. He further said that this will improve policies and programs that are appropriate as a fishing village, especially regarding empowerment in the Tomalo fishing village. Komarudin added that the strategy is important to support a sustainable program based on the empowerment of Tomalo fishermen. Australia on Thursday eased its COVID-related travel advice for several countries, including the United States, Britain, and Canada, as it prepares to reopen its borders next week for the first time in over 18 months. As reported by Reuters.com, October 28, Australia will lift its outbound travel ban for fully vaccinated residents from November 1st, following a strong uptake of COVID-19 vaccines as Sydney and Melbourne, its biggest cities, look to welcome overseas travelers without quarantine. We move to international news. Australia on Thursday eased its COVID-related travel advice for several countries, including the United States, Britain, and Canada, as it prepares to reopen its borders next week for the first time in over 18 months. As reported by Reuters.com, October 28, Australia will lift its outbound travel ban for fully vaccinated residents from November 1st, following a strong uptake of COVID-19 vaccines, as Sydney and Melbourne, its biggest cities, look to welcome overseas travelers without quarantine. Australian Minister of Foreign Affairs Mary Spain said in a statement on Thursday, October 28, that the changes announced today are a vital next step in reuniting Australian families and safely reopening Australia to the world. The U.S. State Department said that the United States and South Korea held a disarmament and non-proliferation consultation on Tuesday, October 26. As reported by Reuters.com, October 28, the State Department in a statement said U.S. Under Secretary for Arms Control and International Security Bonnie Jenkins and Republic of Korea Deputy Foreign Minister for Multilateral and Global Affairs Ham Sang-wook held the consultation in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, October 26. The United Kingdom has said threats to block British boats from French ports in a dispute over fishing rights are a breach of international law and trade agreements. As quoted by BBC.com, on October 28, France said if there is no agreement by 2nd of November, it will also tighten checks on UK boats and trucks and could target Channel Island energy supplies. Brexit Minister Lord Frost said the stance was disappointing. He said the UK was seeking urgent clarification of France's plans. France was angered by a decision from the UK and Jersey last month to deny fishing licenses to dozens of French boats and argued that it breached the Brexit deal. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Oh,
After 19 years, Indonesia finally won the Thomas Cup after defeating China on Sunday. However, this victory was not that exciting. During the ceremony, Indonesia's national flag was replaced with Indonesian Badminton Association's flag. This happened because of an issue between Indonesia and the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA. The flagless punishment in every international event was imposed by WADA for IOC member countries who have problems with doping tests or the doping itself on the athletes. On the matter, Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Zainuddin Amali, as President Joko Widodo's instruction to immediately solve this issue, had moved quickly by forming a special task force led by Raja Sabta Oktohari. Raja Sabta, who is also Indonesian Olympics Committee Chairman, said that he had opened a communication with WADA to relieve the country's anti-doping agency LADI from the sanction. In opening the communication, Raja Sabta Oktohari met directly with WADA's President Witpold Mangka and Secretary General Olivier Ngingli at the Association of National Olympic Committees General Assembly in Greece on Sunday. From the meeting, Raja Sabta said that there are some obstacles in communication between LADI and WADA. However, direct access for every LADI personnel to WADA's had been opened, so the issue can be solved quickly. Also, the task force kept pushing LADI to solve some 24 postponed issues. Raja Sabta also ensured that if all the requirements were fulfilled by LADI, Indonesia will regain her rights on sport events and can host another international championship again. Doping is a big no for every athlete, since they are demanded to be honest in their achievements. Therefore, there should be more education for the athletes, medical team, and LADI officials about this. Besides, the cooperation with Japan in building anti-doping lab needs to be finished soon, so that Indonesia will not depend on anyone in doping testing the athletes in every championship.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la diffusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, we start today in history with October 28, Youth Pledge Day. On October 27 until 28 in Batavia, also known as Jakarta, the second Youth Congress was held. On the last day of the Congress, October 28, 1928, the Congress participants agreed to the decision that they recognize one bloodshed Indonesian homeland, one nation, Indonesian nation, and one language, Indonesian language. The decision was known as the Youth Pledge. the Youth Pledge became a major milestone in the history of the Indonesian independence movement. Since October 28, 1959, it has been designated as the Youth Pledge Day. Next October 1955, Bill Gates was born. William Henry Gates III, also known as Bill Gates, was born on October 28, 1955. He is a businessman, investor, philanthropist, and writer from the United States, and he is also a Microsoft ex-CEO of a software company. He co-founded it with Paul Allen. He was ranked first in the list of the richest people in the world from 1995 until 2009. In the last day of his career, Gates carried out several philanthropic endeavors by donating a great amount of money to various charitable organizations and scientific research programs through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We end today in history with October 28 as International Animation Day. International Animation Day was proclaimed in 2002 by Association Internationale du Film d'Animation, ACIFA, as a global event to celebrate animation art. October 28 was chosen to commemorate the first public performance of the optical theater works made with cameras. Well, listener, that was today in history, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Di depanmu yang ku inginkan, di depanmu.
are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, on voanews.id or application RRI Play Go. The next one will be My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is about Indonesia-Brazil-Congo collaboration in COP26, strengthens climate negotiations. Indonesia's collaboration with Brazil and Congo at the COP26 in Glasgow, England, became an integration of innovation and solution for the forestry sector in strengthening climate action and negotiation. That was stated by Indonesian Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya in a written statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Tuesday. The Forest Power for Climate Actions initiative through the three countries' collaboration enables the three to lead their own regions along with other tropical countries in affecting the climate negotiation in Glasgow. The collaboration will also open a room with other tropical countries and temperate forest countries to join as observers. The Forest Power Agenda was initiated by Minister Siti Nurbaya through direct correspondence with Congo's Minister for Environment and Sustainable Development, Yves Bazaiba Masudi, and Brazil's Minister for Environment, Joaquim Alvaro Pereira Leite, virtually on October 22, 2021. According to Siti Nurbaya, the collaboration will sound the strength of forest in climate action, as did by the three countries with great tropical forests. The collaboration will strengthen these countries' position in fighting for an effective solution in climate actions, mainly from the forestry sector. Siti Nurbaya added that the collaboration also aims to promote solidarity in the joint effort towards achieving the global goals under Paris Agreement. The global goals include maintaining global temperature increase under 1.5 degree from the pre-industrial era. The potential areas for cooperation between forest countries led by Indonesia, Brazil, and Congo will include issues such as deforestation reduction, land and forest fire control management, social forest and community-based forest management, climate fund management, sustainable land administration, biodiversity and bioprospecting, as well as mangrove rehab and conservation. And that's My Indonesia for today.
Yang tepat di waktu yang salah. tak pernah mengerti.
Kau dan aku menyakiti.
Oh, pergi saja engkau pergi dariku. Biar ku bunuh perasaan untukmu. Meski berat melangkah,
listener. More information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. For example, it is an information about Indonesian tourism or maybe the local wisdom of Indonesian people. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, October 22nd is commemorated as Youth Pledge Day or Sumpah Pemuda. Sumpah Pemuda is the pledge of the Indonesian youth who claim one blood, the land of Indonesia, one nation, the Indonesian nation, and uphold the language of unity, Indonesian language. The pledge was the result of the decision of the Pemuda Pemudi or the Second Youth Congress, which was held from 27th to 28th of October 1928. This congress was initiated by the Indonesian Student Association, PPPI, and attended by youth organizations such as Yong Java, Yong Sumatra, Yong Batak, Pemuda Indonesia, Yong Islamitin, Yong Celebes, Sekar Rukun, Yong Ambon, and Pemuda Betawi. The second youth congress was held in a building located on Jalan Keramat Raya number 106 in Central Jakarta. This building is a museum called Sumpah Pemuda Museum now. Keramat Raya 106 building is used as a museum because it has a series of historical journeys and is a witness to the long process of forming the spirit of struggle for Indonesian independence. At the place where the Second Youth Congress was held, the basic principles of Indonesian unity were discussed, formulated, and then the pledge was decided. Listener, Sumpah Pemuda Museum has the main building consisting of front porch, one living room, five rooms, and one open room or meeting room that have related photo collections and stuffs with history of Sumpah Pemuda 1928, as well as activities in the Indonesian Youth National Movement. In 2007, the total number of the museum's collections is 2,867. Among these collections, there are several interesting collections such as the Youth Pledge Digital Comic and W.R. Supratman's Violin. W.R. Supratman is the composer of Indonesian national anthem Indonesia Raya. With his violin, he played the Indonesia Raya for the first time at the Second Youth Congress. Listeners, the collection owned by the Sumpah Pemuda Museum are exhibited in a permanent exhibition room with an arrangement that follows the chronology of the Sumpah Pemuda events in order to describe the sequence of events. Right in front of the entrance, there is an introduction room. The collections include a map of Indonesia with the locations of regional youth organizations, a map of Jakarta showing the places where the Second Youth Congress was held, and its current condition, the committee of the Second Youth Congress, the the participating organizations of the Youth Congress, and a mock-up of the Sumpah Pemuda building. Beside the introduction room, there is a room for growth of youth organizations. This room describes the early growth period of youth organizations that began the Indonesian Association in the Netherlands. In this room, visitors can also find realia in the form of scouting equipment used in the 1920s. There is the first youth congress room upstairs. In this room, the collections related to the first Indonesian youth congress are exhibited. Next, there is the second youth congress room. In this room, a collection that describes the events of the second Indonesian youth congress is exhibited. Then there are the Young Indonesia Room, the Indonesian Student Association Room PPPI, and the Thematic Room. The Student Room presents a collection of youth movements after Sumpah Pemuda was sworn in. The PPPI Room presents several collections related to the Association of Indonesian Students after the Second Indonesian Youth Congress. The Thematic Room consists of two rooms, located in the pavilion of Gedung Keramat 106. This room presents several collections related to youth activities in 1945, 1966, and 1998. Well, listener, keep listening to the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Jangan cemberut, cemberut, cemberut begitu, barang-barang.
Well then, listener, the next one will be an information about Indonesia. Well, mostly it's about innovation. The next one is miscellany.
Listeners, in Indonesia, October 28 is the Indonesian Youth Flag Day. The Youth Flag is the decision of the Second Youth Congress from October 27 to 28, 1928. The decision affirms Indonesia's ideals. They are Indonesian homeland, Indonesian nation, and Indonesian language. This year is the 93rd commemoration of Youth Flag Day. The commemoration of the Youth Flag Day has always a different theme every year. This year's theme is Unite, Rise, Grow. Youth Flag Day is enlivened with many activities. For example, what was done by the Youth Flag Museum along with the Directorate General of Culture at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology is that they held an exhibition of press figures behind the youth flags with the theme Fight. This is a reflection of the struggle of press figures during the youth flag movement against the Dutch colonial government. According to Director of Film, Music and Media at the Directorate General of Culture, Ministry of Education, Culture Research and Technology, Ahmad Mahendra, the foundation of Indonesian nationality was built by the press tradition of Indonesian youth in the early 20th century. The press was a tool of resisting against colonialism as well as uniting the collectivity of the homeland in the consciousness of the nation. He also said that most of the youth with their patriotism in the national movement era were journalists such as Cipto, Sukarno, Siti Sundari, and W.R. Supratman. They moved together against colonization, told the spirit of Indonesian unity, made people realize that they have a nation called Indonesia that deserves being fought for and liberated. In addition, Ahmad Mahendra advised that with a strong spirit, they can rise up and move together so that Indonesia continues to grow as an independent and a sovereign country. The exhibition Fight can be visited live on October 22nd to 21st, 2021 at M Block Space, South Jakarta. This exhibition also can be viewed online from October 22nd to November 9th, 2021 by Zoom Meeting Media and the exhibition page www.pameranlawan.com. The visitors will be treated to creative content and 360 degrees virtual tour services by online meeting. So, it provides a real experience as visiting directly. That's Miss Seleni.
Ku masih terus Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku ocakuyo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen.Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
we have been giving you so many information and also so many songs from Indonesia. The next one will be a song, but there's a little bit information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, now I'm going to present to you a song from The Lord Band. On its first debut, the band consists of 6 members. They are Bartje van Houten as guitarist, Andre Gultom as saxophone, flute and vocal, Shamsur Hashim as main vocal, Khairul Daud as drummer, Budiman Pulungan as keyboard player, and Sangkan Panggabean as bassist. But as time goes by, The Lord has new members, namely Yustian as second guitarist, Fatmarida Susilo as flute and saxophone, and Totok as bassist. The Lord has been known by music lovers in Indonesia since the 1970s. The Lord's hit songs were composed by Bartje van Houten. One of their songs, Apa Salah dan Dosaku, tells about someone who feels suffered on his entire life until he prays to God and gives him a happy life. Listener, this is the song Apa Salah dan Dosaku from The Lord.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mengapakah kita harus berpisah? Dikala cintaku mulai bersemi, bukanlah salahku, bukan salahmu. Jatuh cinta pandangan pertama, kini telah ku sadari. Sayang, lepaskanlah diri ini, biarlah cintamu ku bawa bersama cintaku. Kembalilah engkau pada dirinya, usahlah suratan kita yang menentukan akhirnya kita harus berpisah. Sadari, aku mengerti, tak mungkin aku kan memilikimu, karena dirimu kini telah berdua. Entah apa yang akan kurasa. Oh kasihku yang tersayang, lepaskanlah diri ini, biarlah cintamu ku bawa bersama cintaku.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.